DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Kenneth Baker, who was for many years the editor of Homiletic and Pastoral Review, the premier magazine for clergy and laity interested in pastoral issues for today's church. He is the author of Inside the Bible and Fundamentals of Catholicism. With Father Kenneth Baker, we go inside the pages of The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life, published by Ignatius Press. Father Baker, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be with you, Chris.
I love The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. Boy, do we need this book today.
Well, that's the way to achieve happiness in this life is to conform oneself to the will of God, and His will is made known to us in many different ways. So through the Bible, through the teaching of the church, the circumstances that each person finds himself in, the century that you're born in, being born in America rather than in Russia. All of these things are manifestations of God's will for each individual person.
It seems to me, though, Father, that so many of us know and have heard about praying. We know maybe how to pray, but discerning, now that's different, isn't it?
Well, discerning is very different, yes. Praying, there are four different kinds of prayer. Basically, most people, it's petition, but there's also thanksgiving and adoration and reparation. And I love the statement of St. Thomas Aquinas on prayer, where he says, why do you ask for things? Well, because God has made known to us that some things He grants only that we ask for it. If we don't ask for it, we don't get it. We don't get it. Mm-hmm. So that's an important dimension of prayer. But discernment, a key thing of discernment is the exercises of St. Ignatius, the spiritual exercises. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, we definitely are.
Okay, well, then one of the main points of that is through prayer to discern what God's will is for an individual, especially for making a serious choice, like about to get married or to become a religious or nun or something like that. Some serious choice that a person have to make, that's one of the key reasons for the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. But it also has to do with discerning God's will in ordinary circumstances, the choices that people have to make every day. That there's a certain amount of discerning of God's will in that. But God deals very gently with us. He doesn't force us. He respects man's freedom. He doesn't force man to do, what he doesn't want to do.
In The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life, you've done such a wonderful job of bringing in the great song, that Psalm 119, that really kind of guides us through that process. I've never seen that done before.
Well, this is something you might inform your audience about. It's my favorite psalm. It has Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and every one of those verses praises God's will in different ways, speaking about His commandments, His ways, His precepts, His testimonies. And it's very artistically put together because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so this psalm has 22 stanzas, 8 stanzas for each letter. And so the first 8 begin with A, and the second 8 stanzas begin all with B, and the third with C, and so forth, all the way to the end of the Hebrew alphabet. So it adds up to 176 verses. But every single verse praises God's will in one way or another. And I was amazed when I came across, not so long ago, I was reading something about Blaise Pascal, the famous French mathematician and philosopher, that said in this book about him that he prayed that psalm every day. It must have taken him 15 or 20 minutes to do it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like such a bad investment in time, does it?
Oh, no, it doesn't. So that I was inspired by that to organize the book of God's will around that psalm. So there are 22 chapters dealing with various aspects of man's life. First of all, talking about sanctity. Mm-hmm. St. Paul says, that this is the will of God, your sanctification. So we're all called to be saints. And so the chapters deal with things like divine grace, providence, suffering, predestination. And then I get into individuals doing the will of God, like Mary and Joseph, and finally with Jesus and the will of God. Because he says many times in the scriptures that he has come into this world to do his Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. And we say that every time we say the Our Father. We say the Our Father, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the way we attain happiness and fulfillment in our human life, is to do God's will. Of course, the important thing is, and difficult for many people, is to find out what precisely is God's will for me here and now. That comes to that discernment you were talking about.
It's a challenge when it comes up against our will. So often we think our will is, well, God should want what we want, or maybe we believe it so sincerely, he must desire it for us too.
Well, that's one of the consequences of sin. Mm. So that as a result of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, death and suffering came into this world that wasn't intended originally by God. You read the first three chapters of Genesis, Adam and Eve were perfectly happy in the Garden of Eden, and they were immortal. They did not suffer, and also they had what's called the gift of integrity. They had perfect control over their passions, which we do not have. We have what the theologians call concupiscence, which is a tendency to rebel against God. That's one of the consequences of sin. And so it's kind of like a battle in human life to overcome that and to conform our will to God's will. The problem is pride. You know, pride is it goes before a fall, and pride is based on all sins. The sin of Adam and Eve is pride and disobedience, and that's the difficulty we have in human life, is to try and overcome that. And we do that, and especially for Christians and especially for Catholics, by making use of the sacraments. You know, all the sacraments of baptism, Holy Eucharist, confirmation, going to confession regularly, and to do the things necessary to receive God's grace so that we can conform our will to his will.
Father Baker, do you think we underappreciate what grace truly is? I mean, do you think that especially the average lay Catholic like myself, I mean, do we really appreciate the power in that presence of God?
Well, I think some do and some don't, but there's process in life, beginning from childhood and youth, and then you get in your 20s and 30s and maturity, and then gradually you get older. But as you get older, you begin to realize more, how weak we are, and that we're really nothing. St. Teresa of Avila says that she's just a worm, in comparison with God. And I think as you get older, you realize more the importance of divine grace and the difference between the temporal that we're involved in and the eternal. Somebody gave me a holy card not so long ago, a quote from St. Augustine said, "If it's not eternal, it's nothing." I'd never come across that before. If it's not eternal, it's nothing.
Mm, beautiful. I think that I'm going to keep that one close for quite a while, I think.
That's a good one to remember. And also, one of my favorite books is The Imitation of Christ, of Thomas A. Kempis.
Mm-hmm.
And The Imitation of Christ, the kind of thesis of that all the way through is the difference between what's temporal and what's eternal. And what's visible and invisible, what's human and what's divine. And so he helps us to realize the difference between the temporal and the eternal, and the visible and the invisible. So the most important things in human life actually are invisible, like the spirit and mind and prayer and relationship with God. God is transcendent. We can't see him or touch him, but we know he's there by reason of faith.
One thing we know, too, and we can kind of see it in our own eyes in our world today, and maybe even the actions that we do, is sin. It has consequences, doesn't it?
Sin has tremendous consequences, not in this life and in the next life. I mean, people who are perpetual sinners, they have all kinds of problems coming from that, psychological and physical, the diseases that they get, and then they're separated from God. And so it leads men to many mental problems and so forth. So the way to lead a happy life is to follow God's law, as made known to us, you know, in the scriptures, and basically the Ten Commandments, the teaching of the church, the creed that we say at Sunday Mass, you know, the Nicene Constantinople Creed about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the church. So that when we know that and try and conform ourselves to that, that's the way to achieve happiness. It's related to the first page of the catechism, it seems to me, when you say, you know, why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next. And so the ultimate goal of being a human being, why God created each one of us, is for unity with him in eternity, in heaven for all eternity.
Father Baker, in this year of faith, the Holy Father, the Vatican, really implored us all to make that creed our prayer for the year of faith.
Oh, yes, I noticed it. I just read it recently. He makes a strong emphasis on the importance of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I've said in many of my sermons and homilies that every family should have a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can get it at Barnes & Noble for about $8 or $9 or something like that. It's not expensive. And also, do you notice that he made reference to the Credo of the People of God of Paul VI? Mm. That's a wonderful summary in just a few pages of the whole creed that we say at Mass, and explains it a little bit more. I hadn't read it for a long time, so I read it yesterday. I was very impressed with that. It was published in 1968, about 6 weeks before his letter on contraception, on Humanae Vitae. That surprised me. The Credo of the People of God. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes, I am. I was encouraged to read it as you were from the Holy Father's writings.
Yeah, I hadn't read it for a long time. As soon as I saw that in his letter, the door of faith, the Porta Fidei, as it is in Latin. So I went and got it to read it, and it's a tremendous explanation of the creed that we say at Mass. That's something that maybe should be reprinted and made available to people, because anybody can read that. You don't have to be well-educated. You can read that and get a perfect understanding of what the Catholic Church is all about.
We're talking with Father Kenneth Baker, who is the author of The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. And I'd have to encourage people to read your work, too, Father Baker. You're always imploring us to come to know him and to love him and to serve him and to get us ready to be happy with him forever.
Well, in my writings, I try to take the complicated ideas and expressions of theologians and philosophers and to put them in language that the ordinary people can understand. I've been doing that for many, many years as editor of the Homiletic and Pastoral Review for 40 years. I wrote about over 400 columns and editorials explaining various aspects of the church to try and make it more accessible to people. Because some of the theological and philosophical language of Catholicism is very difficult for people. Say, for example, the new translation of Consubstantial with the Father. But people, they come across that consubstantial, they don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. It's such an important thing for us to know our faith, but it's also to live it out in the world. And the one thing, is it just us in America that we have such an incredible aversion to and an understanding of what suffering is and how it is a part of the Christian experience?
Well, Christ came into this world as a suffering Messiah. That's the key to the Gospel of St. Mark, is that he's this Messiah based on Isaiah 52, 53, mm-hmm. Of the suffering Messiah. And he came into this world, and the reason for that is sin. It's because of sin, primarily the sin of Adam and Eve, but secondarily the individual actual sins of the descendants of Adam and Eve, which is all of us. And so God became man in order to make restitution to the Father. The Son became man to make restitution to the Father, which we couldn't do, for the sins of all mankind. And he did that on the cross. As a son, he was born in poverty. He was rejected by his companions. He was betrayed by Judas and denied by St. Peter. And he went through all of that for each one of us. He had knowledge, since he has infinite knowledge. He knew each one of us, and he did that for us and for our salvation. So as Christians, we have to imitate him. And so that we, that's part of the will of God, is to accept the suffering that we encounter. Everybody suffers something every day. Everybody suffers something every day. And eventually, we get sick and we die, either suddenly or of old age. And so that's one of the consequences of sin, and it's God's permissive will. St. Thomas makes the difference between God's positive will, for example, the commandments and the church, and his permissive will of the evil that happens to us. Say people steal things from us or attack our good name and things like that. God permits those things. And St. Augustine was very much taken up with all of that. Why does God permit all of that? Until he finally came to the realization that God is infinitely and so powerful that he can bring good out of evil.
And it's part of trusting in his will. You have to know him in order to trust him, don't you, Father?
That's right. We have to know him, and that's why we have the Gospels. We have the Gospels. That's the way we know him. We know God by knowing Jesus. Remember, he says to St. Philip in the 14th chapter, verses 9 and 10, he says, so is the Father. And our Lord says to Philip, Philip, have I been so long with you that you don't realize that he who sees me sees the Father? So looking at Jesus is the visibility of the Father in the flesh. It was a human being like us who lived for 33 years and died for our salvation. And that's made very clear in the four Gospels. And there's kind of a, you know, one of the advantages of scripture study of the last 100 years or so is to see that there's a different perspective of Jesus in each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's kind of a different theology in each one of those Gospels.
This book is such a gem because I do love the Psalms so, and it's so wonderful to be able to have one that helps break open discernment in light of that great, great song. Of it, especially in that area, I thought it was so surprising to me in chapter 12 on predestination, that even in the Psalms and through that discernment, we can come to understand that very kind of difficult concept for most Catholics.
Oh, yes, it is. That's very difficult. But there's wonderful wisdom in the Psalms. And so the Psalms, 150 Psalms, are the prayer book of the Church. And, you know, they've been commented on thousands of times in the Psalms. And that Psalm 119, you know, those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, the daytime prayer, there's one of those stanzas every day for the whole month is taken from Psalm 119. So priests and religious who pray the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office or the Breviary, as it used to be called, pray a section of that Psalm 119 every day.
It implores us to really take to heart the fact that we love his law, that we love the commandments. Sometimes we have to kind of ask ourselves, don't we? Do we really love the law and love the commandments?
Well, it's important to come, I think, to come to realization that God is infinite goodness, and everything he does is good and perfect. That's the way he made us, and he wishes goodness for us, so he makes known his will to us by revelation in Scripture and manifested to us through the Church. And by following his will, that's the way we achieve happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. Even criminals, no matter what they do that it may be distorted, but they're seeking happiness and good in some way. A man can't do anything unless he does it for a good purpose. It may be evil, but he thinks it's good. And following God's law is the way to achieve true happiness. The very first verse of Psalm 119 says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So those who walk in the law of the Lord, those who do his will, they're blessed. They're the happy ones. It's imperfect happiness in this life, but if you die in the state of sanctifying grace as a friend of God, then it's eternal happiness that nobody can ever take away from you.
Now, Father Baker, you brought up earlier a saint that's so close to my heart, St. Teresa of Avila. And in chapter 17, she spoke so strongly about the importance of obedience. And you do as well. I mean, that obedience is a difficult struggle for so many who have grown up in a land that has been, you are free to do what you want.
It's not a popular virtue in America.
Mm-hmm. No, not really.
The media are constantly, whether it's movies or TV or radio, they're constantly promoting revolt, rebellion, you know, going against what was done in the past, or going against your parents, or going, you know, all of that. So that's kind of common in our culture. But the true happiness is found, there's order. In God's universe, there's order. And so in order to achieve happiness, we have to abide by that order. That is, by keeping God's commandments, by honoring our parents, by showing respect for teachers and authority and superiors. Those are various ways that we achieve happiness in this life. You don't achieve happiness by rebelling against everything that's been done in the past.
Oh, Father Baker, I think this book is also very important for families to have, because at the heart of the cultural tsunami, or maybe even the cultural slide that we're experiencing today, its very foundations of that earth shaking is found in the breakup of the family today.
Well, that's very true, and that's related to what the Holy Father talked about, the dictatorship of relativism. You know, as if that there's nothing certain, you can't know anything for sure, everything's up for grabs, and that's very destructive on the family, it seems to me, that when children have to be exhorted to be obedient to their parents, at the same time parents have to be prudent in dealing with their children and not to be tyrant. Their goal is to bring them up so that eventually they are independent people that operate by their own will, but are guided towards that which is good, and so that's very important as far as God's will is concerned, in conjunction with the family. God's will is in creating individuals that we come into this world as members of a family, and that He put us in this particular family at this particular time in this particular country. Those are all manifestations of His will. I mean, He could have created each one of us in another century or in another country. Mm. So He put us there for a very special purpose, to work out our salvation, as St. Paul says, in fear and trembling. And many of those ideas are brought out, especially about obedience, as yet, of your favorite saint, St. Teresa of Avila. She's also one of my favorites. I like the way when she's writing, she'll be saying various things. She said, "Oh God," she said, "I'm such a sinner and I'm such a worm. Why are you so good to me?" I think those are wonderful expressions of the heart coming from this terrific saint.
Well, she's so very real. And that's, again, we're talking with Father Kenneth Baker, The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. That's what's so wonderful about your writings and the gift that you bring to all of us. I mean, and you even lift up in that important discernment to look to Mary and Joseph as models.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Joseph. You know, I noticed that St. Teresa, she loved St. Joseph, and mm-hmm. she said St. Joseph never denied her anything she asked him. And she founded about 20 new convents of Carmelites, and they're all named for St. Joseph. I've often wondered how she kept track of them. You know,
sure.
All named for St. Joseph. But St. Joseph is a good model of obedience that you mentioned. I mean, first of all, there's not one word of St. Joseph in the four Gospels. He never says anything. Mary is quoted six times. St. Joseph never says anything. The angel appears to him in his sleep or a dream four times and tells him, you know, what the situation is. And he's obedient of taking Mary as his wife, of taking Mary into Egypt, and then going back to the Holy Land, and finally up to Nazareth. St. Joseph is a marvelous example of obedience to God. And he's, of course, the patron of the Universal Church.
Praise God for that.
We have such a great patron. Father Kenneth Baker, I just wish we had more time. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think I just say that urge people to listen to this to pick up the Bible and sometime to read through slowly Psalm 119. It's just very impressive, like Blaise Pascal. because it praises God's will in every one of those 176 verses, but he uses eight different synonyms for the will of God.
Mm. Well, I would encourage him to pick up your book, too, The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. Read it along with the scripture. It's a wonderful enhancement to our prayer life.
Well, thank you very much for the encouragement. I hope it will be helpful for many people.
Thank you so much for joining us, Father.
Thank you very much, Chris.
With Father Kenneth Baker, we've gone inside the pages of The Will of God, Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.